Welcome to Pit Pass Moto, the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. I'm Dave Sulecki.
And I'm PJ Doran.
And this week we have JD Beach as our guest.
Moto America, the home of the AMA Superbike Championship featuring 190 mile-an-hour superbikes, is the official sponsor of Pit Pass Moto. Tickets, info, and complete 2021 schedule are available at motoamerica.com/tickets. Don't miss a minute of action, practice, qualifying, races, and video on demand with Moto America Live Plus streaming. Follow Moto America on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. In latest racing news, we had the MotoGP from Silverstone with Fabio Quartararo coming out on top of Alex Rins and Aleix Espargaró. It was a beautiful race from start to finish. Unfortunately, Marc Marquez crashed out Jorge Martin on lap one. In the overall standings now, we have Fabio Quartararo pulling away with 206 points, Johan Mir in second place, 65 back, and Johan Zarco third place in the standings, 69 back. This week, AMA Land Speed Grand Championships are happening. We'll have results next week.
In AMA Outdoor Motocross, we've got results from Ironman Raceway, Crawfordsville, Indiana in the 450 class. Eli Tomac shows up. It was a great race for him. He went 2-1 for the overall, followed by your red plate holder, Dylan Ferrandis, sitting in second. And Cooper Webb made a showing on the podium, first time this year. So it was good to see Cooper battling, actually battled for the lead early on in the first moto, taking third on the box. So your point standings now in the 450 class. Dylan Ferrandis continues to lead, sitting on 439 points, followed by Ken Roczen, sitting on 389, and Eli Tomac now with 368 sits in third. In the 250 class action, Jet Lawrence goes 1-1 for a sweep of the 250 class. It was great to see. The boy has just been on fire as of late, so he's really given Justin Cooper a run. Coming in second, a guy we haven't seen all year, Joe Shimoda comes in second with a 2-3 on his Kawasaki, followed by Justin Cooper, who took 4-4 for third overall. So your 250 point standings now. Jet Lawrence has taken the lead. He's sitting on 414 points, followed by Justin Cooper on 403. And Hunter Lawrence sits in third with 319. This week's Pit Pass trivia question is, what year was the first known motorcycle created and who was responsible? Name the year and who came up with this revolutionary design. The answer to that question after our interview with JD Beach.
We'd like to welcome back to Pit Pass today super fast racer JD Beach of the Estenson Racing Monster Energy Team. JD, thanks for taking the time. It's great to have you back on the show. Welcome.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a beer mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's great to be back on.
So you've had a great season so far, one would say. I would say, I know you're always aiming for higher. You're currently sitting P5 in the overall standings of the AFT Super Twins class. But it looks like, I would argue, you've got a reasonable shot at least third place in the standings by the end of this season. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, no, we're actually, I was surprised because we are only 18 points out of third, and we have five rounds to go. the year, like you said, for me, it hasn't been as well as I'd hoped. We've definitely have had our rounds where we just really didn't get the results that we had hoped. But I think as a whole, the year has been well, and from what we did last year to this year is a big step.
Definitely. I mean, you've had two wins, both of them at TTs, which I suggest shows and showcases your abilities when it comes to going left and right, perhaps a little better than some of your competitors. You are a extremely accomplished road racer, as we all know. And for any of our listeners who don't know that, he is one of the fastest men on a road race track. I'm sure you're keeping your doors open. Are you still doing any road race riding, club racing, anything to keep at it? Or is your twins series keeping you busy enough that you don't have time for that sort of thing?
Yeah, no, I've been trying to do some. I mean, it's hard because it costs a lot to do it. But I've got my own bike that I've got here. It's just stock, so I try and go do track days and stuff. And I think not only I mean, I love to do it, but also I think it's good just to train on, just to do more than one sport. Because I think it's good because you have to use the front brake, which I've been good at. And but also I think the speed helps too. And I did get to do one Moto America race this year, so. It was good that I had rode a little bit before I went and did that as well.
And for sure, JD, congrats on that. You pulled down a sixth at Brainerd, I believe, which is outstanding. I just got to ask, I mean, you're in flat track, you're kind of the lone Yamaha guy in the front, and it's great to see. How is that adapting from the flat track bike over to the road race bike so suddenly and then jumping back and forth like that?
Yeah, I mean, because I did it in 2019. I was going back and forth a lot. But this time, it was hard to go back road racing just because, especially on the super bike, they're so fast. So to get used to that speed again was hard because it had been 2 years since I had rode, so yeah, that was hard, and I think for me it was my brain was thinking too much when I was on the bike, because I was kind of thinking about like, okay, now I need a break, okay, now I need to get on the gas, now I need a turn, and really it took until the last day, and then I got done with morning warm up, and I had passed a few guys, and I got done, and I thought to myself, I'm like it was like my brain turned back on. I was like, wow, I wasn't even thinking that whole time, which it was, for me, it's better because then stuff is just happening. Like, I'm not thinking about what to do. So, like, when I'd pass guys, like, I wasn't thinking, okay, I need to set up here to get by here. Like, I was just doing it. But then I think when I went back dirt tracking again after that, it helped me some because our bike in dirt track does not like to slide. So road racing again really made me stop sliding as much. So when I came back, I felt like I was riding a little bit better.
So you were able to translate some of the keeping it in line sensation into speed on a flat track. And as we know, that you're not always sliding in flat track. Some groove tracks, you absolutely don't want to slide if you don't have to, other than probably entry setup. But that's impressive. And your speed on a state-of-the-art superbike is no joke for just coming back for a weekend. And that track was pretty fast. I was at the Brainerd race for and so glad it's back on the calendar. I hope they keep going there, and I hope they're able to make some improvements to make it safer and better. I mean, what'd you think of that facility? I thought it was pretty awesome to watch a race at.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. That was my first time there, and I had always heard stories from there, and about how fast the track is. And for me, I mean, like, we weren't on the old track, but I was blown away with turns one and two, how fast it was. Like, I can imagine doing the old track, because the track now, it was so fast. I mean, we were fourth gear almost wide open going through those turns. And, I mean, it was so fast. And I actually quite liked the track a lot. It was fun. The only spot I wasn't a big fan of was towards the end of the lap. There was a long right-hander into a tight chicane, and for me that just kind of threw off the flow of the track some. I mean, I'm not sure if there's much they could do about that to change it, but I think the track was fun.
Yeah, that last section you're talking about, where you came out of the long right, then a short hop past hot pit, then the hard left under the bridge, hard right, kind of felt like the hurry downs without the downhill effect at Road America, is what the guys I was with, as we sat on our mini bikes riding around and checking the track out, other than it didn't open you up into the carousel, it opened up into that long straightaway you're talking about from the line through one and two, which was impressive. I didn't see too many crashes there, because that you would not want to go off there, would you?
No, not at all.
You'd be out in the trees a ways, which used to happen back in the day. Some of the most famous motorcycle crashes I've heard of involve that long run to turn one in its old configuration. And yeah, I just, how fast you guys were going, it was easy to see why you just wouldn't want to go off there. So no chance you're getting to ride any of these last two races, is there? For Moto A, that is?
As far as I know, no, just because Jersey is the same weekend as our next race, and then Barber, I don't have a race, but I mean I haven't gotten a phone call about racing there, so as of right now, no.
Probably a little late in the game to get a last minute call, and hopefully nobody gets hurt, but yeah, it's a pleasure watching you road race as well as flat track. I mean, yeah, I'm looking forward to the end of that season as well. I mean, you've really got a shot at fourth and third are well in sight, it would seem, for you. Which track remaining in the AFT season are you really looking forward to racing?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm really looking forward to Springfield. That's a track that I've been to a lot, and it's really close to home. And I mean, usually that track is always a blast, but I'm really looking forward to SAC, because that's a mile that I've actually never been to, and it's been around for so long. So I think it's really cool to be able to go right race at a play place like that.
So how much are you having to do with this team? Is it legit? You just fly in, drive in, however's most convenient for you, and you get to sit on the bike and do what JD Beach is best known for? Or are you having to do some of the teamwork that I know historically you probably have done a fair bit of?
With the team, for me, I am super lucky. If it's close, I drive my van, and if it's far, then I fly, and I just have to get my gear there, and I show up and ride. But for me, it's really cool because the team is actually based here in town, so to go to the track, I can my crew can, or I can ride with my crew, or they can go with me. I can put my gear on the truck, so if I do fly, I mean, I don't have to worry about flying with my gear. And like, if they do have a lot to do and I don't have much going on, then I'll try and go and help and stuff. And on the days that I'm bored and like I'm not really riding too hard, I'll ride my bike to the shop, and because like to ride there on my road bike, it's about 20 miles or so. So I can do back roads and stuff like that, and kind of take my time and ride there, hang out and say hi and stuff, and then go back home.
That's a good day of bike training with a purpose at both ends. That's pretty cool. Where are you guys based at? Is it in Kentucky?
Yes, in Owensboro.
Yep, I recall that. So are there any locals still that you train with? I'm thinking of the likes of Jake Lewis, who has done a couple of guest rides or personal rides, I'm not really sure, this season in the AFT series, and he's certainly road racing. I know you guys have trained together, rode bicycles at least together. Are you doing that kind of thing still?
Yeah, so Jake is still, like, me and Jake still ride a lot. And then man, I still live with Hayden Gillum. So he does work, so it's hard. But whenever he's not there, then we try and go riding.
That's awesome, and one heck of a roommate for having a training partner when he's available. JD, we're sadly running out of time. Before we go, we definitely want to give you a chance to thank any of your sponsors, supporters that you haven't yet had a chance to mention. We definitely want to give you a chance to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd really just like to thank my whole team. I mean, they've definitely put in the work this last 2 years now, and I think from our results from 2 years ago to now have improved a lot, and it would have been easy to quit, but they've fought hard. So yeah, I mean, I just gotta really thank them.
JD, but it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, man, and keep up the hard work, good work that you're doing in the AFT series. You're bringing Yamaha to the front, your team to the front. It's impressive to watch you guys develop that bike, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
We'd like to thank our guest, JD Beach, for spending time with us on Pit Pass Moto today. This week's Pit Pass trivia question was, what year was the first known motorcycle created, and who was responsible? Name the year and who came up with the revolutionary design. The answer is, the earliest known official motorcycle was built in Bad Cannstatt, Germany, in 1885 by Gottlieb Daimler and Wilhelm Maybach. This led them both to create an automobile design from that, which basically is founded in their motorcycle idea. Pretty amazing technology back in the day, PJ.
Absolutely. It looked like a hobby horse with wooden wheels, but it definitely motored under its own power. In upcoming racing news, we have the AFT Flat Track Springfield doubleheader September 3 through 5. Then MotoGP coming up at Aragon, Spain, September the 12th. Moto America returns to the track in New Jersey, September 10 through the 12th. And we have the World Superbike French Round, September 3 through 5.
In off-road racing, we've got AMA Outdoor Motocross at Fox Raceway in Pala, California, September 4th. We have the MXGP of Turkey in Afyon, Turkey, September 5th and September 8th.
Thank you again to JD Beach for being with us today, and thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. If you have a moment, please rate and review us as well. We really appreciate it. Make sure you're also following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit pitpassmoto.com where you can check out our blog.
This has been a production of Evergreen Podcasts. A special thank you to Tommy Boy Alverson, Chris Bishop, producer Leah Longbreak, and audio engineer Sean Roll Hoffman. I'm Dave.
And I'm PJ.
And we'll see you next week.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.